You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. I am glad you made it. You look incredible. Welcome to all of our friends watching from around the world. Come on, church family. Let's give them a big, warm round of applause. Good morning. Good to see all of you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you like what you're hearing today, don't forget to not just click the like button, click the share button. You guys are making a massive difference all around the world by sharing what's happening in Longview, Texas with all of your social media friends, and we appreciate you for doing that. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're going to go. Ephesians chapter 1, and as you're turning there, I want to say thank you for being generous. You guys have supported us financially, and you continue to do so, and I am completely humbled by the simple fact that you are a giving church. I like to show you a little bit every single week of another place where your finances are going and the lives that you're impacting with your giving. So this past week, we were able to sponsor a group of young ladies and some teenage mothers so that they could go to a Young Life Camp, hear more about Jesus, hear some practical life stuff, and that was all made possible by your generosity. So on behalf of these ladies and these young moms, let me just say thank you for being a generous church. Is that awesome, everybody? Thank you for that. We're doing a lot of things just like that, and it's all because of you, and you continue to give, and I just want to say thank you for that. It's making a big difference. So today I want to bring a message called The Missing Link. Someone, somebody say it with me, The Missing Link. Some of you are like, that was my nickname in high school when we went on that one trip to the beach and people saw me with my shirt off. Like, no. We're going to talk about some links that God has through us, through his word, that help us to understand what it means to be spiritually mature. And so in Ephesians, Paul's writing this letter, and I love this about Ephesians. It's the one letter that Paul writes out of his 13 letters where he's not mad. And I love that because it has such a different tone. He's not yelling at somebody saying, for the love of God, just don't be dumb. And half the letters that Paul writes seems that all he's doing is dealing with people's behavior. And he's like, you know better. You know better than this stuff. Why do we keep having to go back and work these same things over and over again? You're not learning. You're not growing. You're not maturing. And so in this letter from the church in Ephesians, he loves them. He spent a lot of time with them. He's invested into them. And when he gets a report back of how well they're doing, he's like, I love this. I'm in a good mood because you guys, not only are you getting it, but you're continuing to grow. And there's another step for you. There's more things that God wants for you. And I'm praying that you'll understand the link between the things that you're doing and what is next. And it's that exact same heart that I bring to you today. God wants to mature you. God wants to bring you into a new level in him. God wants to have you understand new things about his character and his will. And there's always something more for us to learn about our relationship with God. And so I love Ephesians. This is an amazing thing. Something that you might not know is that when Paul started the church in Ephesus, he was able to spend 3 years with these people. Now, there are some churches that Paul spent about 3 weeks and was run out of town, but he was able to spend a great amount of time, the most of his ministry, the most time he spent was with this specific church. And because of that, he knew them personally and he loved them. Now, Paul got run out of town when he started talking against their local gods and the things that they were worshiping, and they did not like that in the least. And so they threatened to kill him, and they were chasing him down. Paul escapes with his life, and then he wonders, like, I hope that they stayed together. I hope that they're growing. I hope that they're still learning about Christ and that they're still maturing. That would be wonderful. So he gets a report back that not only are they still together, but they're actually doing it, and they're doing it the right way. And so Paul's not mad. He's excited. He's encouraged. And he writes this letter to them. So I want to pick it up, if you wouldn't mind, in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start it in verse 15. Paul says this: ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. We're going to talk in a few moments about the link that he makes between their faith. Somebody say faith. And their love. He said, you guys have those two things down. I heard about your faith. And then I heard about your love, and I am excited. You guys are sticking with it. You honor the Lord. You have a relationship with Jesus, and now you're loving each other. That's a beautiful thing, and I'm encouraged. He said, ever since I heard about your faith and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, then he lays this on him. Here's the next thing for you. He said, may he give you the spirit of wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. And revelation. He said, you've got the faith down. You've got the love part down. Now I'm praying that you get this next link, wisdom and revelation. Why would you want us to have wisdom and revelation? He says this, so that you may know him better. He says, you know God, you know Christ, you understand, you have a good working knowledge of him, but now God wants to take you into a deeper knowledge of him. He wants you to know him better. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God has called you. Know the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. Most people love the idea of God giving them power and God giving them riches and God helping them understand their purpose. But he said, before we get to all that, we're going to need to have the eyes of your heart enlightened, and you're going to need to take the next step in your maturity. You've done so many great things. There's another step for you. And so he lays out the links between where they are and what God wants for them next. And so as we're focusing our attention upon that, I can't help but be reminded of some things that just link really, really well together. And so I'm from Texas, I'm from the South, and there is no better link in my mind than biscuits to gravy. Come on, somebody. Pure fat, don't care. This is completely unhealthy for you. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. And if you add sauces to that gravy, oh, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. It just works. Is a delightful culinary pairing, if I may say so myself. Let's tell you, biscuits works with gravy. And because I am Mexican, let me just tell you, chips does work very, very well with some salsa. It works. And I love the great pairing of chips to salsa. Peanut butter and jelly works fantastic next to each other. Even if my wife disagrees, she's wrong. It's the first time in our marriage that I can prove her wrong. So my wife does not like peanut butter, but she did not tell me that until after we had gotten married. That's a problem for me. That is grounds for annulment, in my opinion. And we went back and forth. She's like, no, that's nasty. How many of you don't like peanut butter? Where are you guys at? The shade. But she'll eat almond butter and jelly. I'm like, it tastes the same. She said, no, it doesn't. Yours is nasty. Almond butter is great. I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you? It works. It works. For the rest of us that are normal, it just works. And so Paul links a couple of things spiritually together in the hopes that they will understand that God has a link for them from where they are to what's next. There's always another link. There's always something deeper so that we could know God better and we can understand his riches and his hope and the power for those of us who believe. So Paul lays out these amazing links, and it's those that I want to focus on today. So we're bringing a message called The Missing Link. And the first link I want to share with you, number one, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down, is the link that Paul makes between faith, somebody say faith, and love. Now, unfortunately, most believers in Christ, especially in our American version of Christianity, will stop with the faith part, and it never expresses itself or matures into love. We can love the Lord, but notice he says, I heard about your faith and your love for all God's people. So before we ever even learn how to love the world, he says, you're going to have to practice on each other. And the church in Ephesus, he says, was doing really, really well. Not only do you believe in Christ, not only do you believe in what Jesus did for you, not only do you understand and have a good working knowledge, you have faith, you have confidence in God. He says, now you're loving each other. And if I could just get those other churches to just do that, we'd be so much better off. But I'm busy just working on them and their behavior. They keep going backwards, but not you. You've understood the importance of letting your faith mature into love. And by the way, Jesus echoes this thought when he talks to his disciples. He tells them how important it is for them to love one another. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, by this, everybody, the whole world's gonna know that you're my disciples. By the way, you treat one another. And unfortunately, we still make that same mistake in Christianity today. The world doesn't see true disciples of Christ because we can't get along. We can't find a way to stay in unity. So we dealt a lot with that last week. We talked about the power of unity and exactly what that looks like, how to fight for each other, not to just to fight against each other. And God has some wonderful things to say about that. But Paul says, look, you've got the faith part down. And look, you've started loving one another. You believe and you're expressing it in the right way. By the way, that's good news for a spiritual father. When he gets that report back from Ephesus, he's like, wow, I didn't screw it all up. And that's really what we want as parents. Come on, some parents. Amen me right there. That's what we want to know. Like they hit about 25 and you're like, they're still alive. They're not in prison. Praise God. Like, I'm okay. It's all right. For those of you that have ever had the unique experience of going to a parent-teacher conference, those can be pretty anxiety-filled, if we're going to be honest. There's moments where you're like, okay, is my kid acting the same way in the school that he does at home? Am I going to get in trouble? Is this going to be an embarrassing thing? What kind of things have they done? But there are times where you go sit in a parent-teacher conference, and I've heard them say, your kid's doing great. They're super smart. They're right on track. And I'm like, but? is there an and coming? Is there a but coming? No. Things are going really well. We want to give you an update that they're doing really, really well, and they're on track. And I'm like, well, look at that. That's a nice surprise. That's great. And this is exactly the way that Paul feels when he gets the report back. Hey, they're keeping the faith. They're still together, and they're thriving. They're loving one another. Can we just take a moment and be honest and ask ourselves, has my faith matured into love, or is that the missing link for me? And for many people, we've had faith for a long time, and there was a season where we were loving one another, but we've let our love grow cold or complacent. We get really, really lazy, and it is easy to do. But Paul is saying, you've got the faith part down. You've got the love part down. And I wish everyone could just get that. The world would be much better off if other churches looked like you. Faith and love. You see, faith should always mature into expressed love. And Paul says, for God's people. Expressed love for God's people. This ought to be a place where we are able to express love for one another. Love is not something that many of us find it very easy to express. Some people are naturally more adept to that than others. But Paul says, I can see that your faith has now matured. You're able to take care of one another. You're able to love one another, to serve one another. Your giving reflects that you love what God is doing and you love each other. And so Ephesus was known for, even in their poverty, they were collecting stuff to be able to send out to other churches to take care of those that had less than them. And Paul's like, that's beautiful. I love that because it's not all about what you can get. It's about what you can give. And he's able to show them through this scripture that they're maturing. That's a sign of maturity. When you stop thinking just about yourself and your own needs. And your relationship with God doesn't just become, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. But Lord, what can I do to express my love for you and for your people? How would you have me to operate? One of the ways that it shows us is in the way that we give. There's a great quote from Robert Louis Stevenson that I remember from being a kid. And it always stuck with me. It says, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And that's still so true. I can give something and not love, but if you're going to love, it has to express itself. And so faith needs to mature into love, and love has to be expressed or it's not love. For those of us that say, I've been married for 50 years, and I told that woman I loved her on the day that we got married, and if everything changes, I'll just tell her, like, hey, easy. If you're really in love, that needs to be expressed, and it needs to come out in practical ways. Please hear me. Love has to express itself, or it's not love. It might be tolerance, but if you say, you know, I love her, I do, I don't think she needs to hear that. The reason why she's probably staying with you is you probably have a lot of money. Let's just be honest. But Paul writes this to the church. This is in Galatians chapter 5, and he says this, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Strong words. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So when we look at that and we put ourselves into this position, we put ourselves into the text, we can ask ourselves some questions. Does my love really express itself? How does my love for the Lord express itself? How does my love for God's people express itself? I think those are important questions that we need to ask because it helps us to see kind of what the missing link is between faith and love. Faith that has no love for others, according to God's word, is weak and immature faith. And many of us settle right back into faith only. That doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you don't have a relationship with the Lord. It means you've walked from maturity back into immaturity, and it happens really, really easily when we find ourselves not expressing love the way that God's word tells us that we can. So that's the first link that Paul has, the link between faith and love. And then he says, now there's something more for you. Since you've got those two things down, this is what I'm praying for you will happen in this next season. I'm praying that you get this. He makes the second link. Number two is the link between wisdom and revelation. Faith matures into expressed love. And then God begins to do something in your heart where all of a sudden you start becoming more wise. Now, some people would say, I consider myself a wise person. I want you to know that your wisdom and God's wisdom often are not the same. And some people would say, well, with age comes wisdom. The older I get, the wiser I get. That's also not true. I've seen plenty of people that were plenty aged with very little wisdom. And so there are things that we can learn. There are things that we can grow in. There is emotional intelligence. This is not what God's word is talking about. He's saying the spiritual wisdom. So some of us would say, I'm full of knowledge. And some of us would apply that to our walk with Christ, and we would instead know God by his rules. You don't know him, you know the rules. And then we'll start allowing man to create more rules. And this is exactly what the problem was in the whole first half of the Bible. It's not about knowing and understanding and having a loving relationship with the Lord. It's about trying to follow some rules. And we've applied that to modern day Christianity, especially in the South. Well, all I've got to do is make sure I don't smoke and don't drink, and then I'm good. Like, okay. Is that your extent of your spiritual wisdom? No, it's not about knowledge. It's not about man's wisdom. Some would say, I make a lot of wise business decisions. Like, is that godly wisdom? Maybe. Is it man's wisdom? For sure. There's benefit in that. There's lots of benefits in wisdom. But wisdom and God's wisdom is completely different. It's even different than street smarts. Some of us would say, I'm street smart, I'm street wise. We would call that emotional intelligence. Maybe not book intelligence, it's emotional. I understand people, I understand the streets, I understand what's happening here. Some people are really good at that. That's not biblical wisdom. Are they good things? Sure, keeps you from getting mugged. Keeps you from going broke. Keeps you from losing your business. Those are wonderful things, great. I'm proud of you. But there's even a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I learned this when I was little. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. They don't go in there. But godly wisdom takes on a completely different form. Godly wisdom has a lot more to do with how you treat people. How you can take God's word and allow that to define the way that you treat people. I want to show you this in James chapter 3. It shows us that God's wisdom is much more than rules and knowledge and street smarts. James 3 says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, look at this, it's pure. It's peace-loving. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial. By the way, most of man's wisdom is how it applies to you. God's wisdom talks about how it applies to others. It's impartial, he says, and it's sincere. It's not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. So biblical wisdom takes on a completely different tone than what we've been taught is wise. And so Paul says, you've got the faith thing down. You've got the love thing down. Now I pray that you start understanding how that wisdom works in the way that you treat people and how you represent him in the community, how you take God's word and begin to apply it to your situations. You understand that the way that you think and the way that God thinks is completely different. So I'm going to start leaning toward, what does God say? I'm stepping out in faith. And that's a link in our spiritual maturity where we go from just loving God's people to learning how to love others, to learning how to represent God well. Where we understand God's word applies, and here's where it applies. Do you see the difference? Wisdom can be described as understanding the practical application of God's word. Like, this is not just a bunch of words. This helps me today. This is not just a group of stories. Like, those stories, like, when I'm reading it and the Spirit begins to quicken my mind, it comes alive. And all of a sudden, I recognize, wait a minute, that fits. Like, you just told me that in your word, and yet here it is on Tuesday, dealing with this at Juicy's. Wisdom is understanding how to practically apply the word of God in a way that makes sense and how we treat others. So When I was younger, my parents didn't allow us to watch television, but we did have library cards, and so we could go to the library and just check out a wealth of books. And I loved a specific kind of book, and some of you that are a little older understand. I don't even know if these kind of books exist anymore, but it was the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Anybody remember that? Am I the only? So they might still exist, and it's a wonderful thing, because if you don't understand, you'd read along for a little while, you kind of understand the story, and then it would come to a decision. And based upon which decision you'd made, that would tell you which page to turn to. And so once you understand the kind of the way that these books work, you'll understand there's a way around most things. Is you can come to a decision and just leave your finger on that mark and then follow the train of decisions. And if you like the story, great. Sometimes it was a bad decision. You're like, okay, I'm gonna go back. That's not what I really decided. I wanna go this way now. Unfortunately, life doesn't really give us that, does it? There's not a lot of do-overs. There's not a lot of ways we can go back and make things right. But God's wisdom helps us to understand which biblical principle applies to which decision. And it gives us wisdom to be able to govern our lives. Do you see the difference? Between wisdom and revelation, revelation is this: having insight into spiritual realities that are usually hidden behind life circumstances. And I wish that people could mature into this, because you would start viewing your life circumstances completely different when you can see what God is doing behind those circumstances. You start seeing what the Spirit is doing behind elections. You start understanding what God is doing behind economies. And you start recognizing through those decisions that God can use us to be a part of his bigger plan. That's the beautiful part of understanding the difference between wisdom and maturing it into revelation. See, wisdom can see solutions. Revelation shows us which one God wants to use and at which time. This is great, because sometimes you come across scriptures and you're like, okay, this one applies. But then there's another scripture like, well, this one applies too. And you keep reading, you're like, there's 12 scriptures that can all apply to this, and all of them tell me to do different things. I've got the wisdom from God's word. Now I need revelation to see which one of them applies now. And I've seen a lot of people that run churches on man's wisdom and forget about biblical revelation. Because oftentimes what God wants to do in his church makes no sense at all. These are one of the beautiful things that I've understood about the health of this church, is that when we work together as elders and we work together in unity, God begins to give us some things like, well, this doesn't make any sense, but we know that this is what God is telling us. God expertly maneuvered our church around COVID. He helped us to maneuver around shutdowns. And when everyone else was having a hard time even opening up their doors, we exploded in growth. Because wisdom would say, you do this. But revelation says, no. You have no idea what's about to happen. Do this. And by the way, this is echoed Old Testament, New Testament. God's like, I'm about to do this. This is what I want my people to do. That doesn't make any sense. Because revelation is what God wants us to mature into. We hear his voice, we understand his ways, and we listen and we obey. Faith is linked to love. Love is linked to your wisdom. Wisdom is linked to spiritual revelation and insight. And Paul says, you've got those first two, and I'm praying that you'll get these next two. This will help you understand the things about God that nobody else gets to understand. He says, the glorious riches, the inheritance that you get, the power for those of us who believe, that's what comes when you understand wisdom and godly revelation. So we've talked about those links between faith and love and the link between wisdom and revelation. Now let's talk about the last link. Let's bring it home, the link between High Ridge and you. The link between High Ridge and you, because this is something that we take seriously. And as we read this in God's word, we recognize that this is God's plan for everybody that believes. He wants them to mature. So how do we do that? Do we apply man's wisdom and say, this is good business sense, this is what other churches do? Or could we say, God's wisdom might not look like man's wisdom. And maybe we don't run this like a business, but we run this like a kingdom where he's the king and he tells us what to do. And I don't have to understand it, but I trust him. And so here's what we're gonna do to make sure that every single Sunday you would understand that God's word is integrated into everything that we're doing here. It may not make sense to other churches, but it absolutely is what the Lord has called us to do and what his word echoes. So every Sunday, I wanna put this on the screen, we will give you an opportunity to know God better. And if you choose to do so, you're gonna get to know God. You're gonna experience his heart, his words, every single Sunday, I'll make that deal with you. We're going to give you a chance to know God better. And for those that have never had a relationship with Jesus, every Sunday, I'm going to give you a chance to know him for the first time. I'm not going to tell you his rules. It's not about rules. I'm going to help you fall deeply and madly and passionately in love with the one that created you. Why? Because Jesus says, if you just love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not about the rules. It's about the relationship. Fall deeply in love with him. Every Sunday, we're going to give you an opportunity to know God better. And here's another one. Every Sunday, we will give you opportunities to express love. You need this. And for many believers, you have a faith, but it doesn't express itself. It's hard for many people to do this in the church. It is not difficult for people to do this outside the church. We will go and sit at a football stadium or a baseball game. We will show love to people that care nothing about you. But yet on Sunday, something happens. There's some trepidation. There's some weird things that happen in our hearts when it's like, hey, come on, let's show our love for the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do all that. That's weird. What were you doing at the Lobos game? Let's clap our hands. Let's show adoration to our God. That's weird. I can't be all Pentecostal. No. It's express love. That's what that is. And so every week our worship leaders are going to come onto this platform and they've practiced and they've worked hard and they're going to give you invitations to express your love for the Lord and your love for God's people. They're going to say, come on, let's lift our hands together. Come on, let's lift our voices. And that's an opportunity, should you choose to take it, to express love for the Lord and to join together in the heart of what Christ is doing. We're going to give you opportunities to stand behind the vision and ask, would you consider giving today? Standing behind this church and the vision financially. You're going to have an opportunity to do that. If you choose to take it, that's going to be up to you. But your spiritual maturity will not be on me. I'm going to give you opportunities to step out into that. Someone at the end of worship is going to walk up onto this platform and give you a nugget from Scripture, something to encourage you and give you a chance to express your love for people. Is going to say something like, hey, turn around and tell somebody, you look like you lost a little bit of weight today. That's a chance for you to express some love for people should you choose to do it. Now, some of us say, I'm an introvert. I couldn't do that. You're just complimenting somebody. Calm down. You're going to be okay. Every Sunday, you're going to hear wisdom from God's word that you can apply to your life if you choose to do so. God's wisdom comes every time that we open up his word. And I'm going to teach you how to practically apply that to your life because you need it. And then also every Sunday, we're going to give you a chance to hear revelation of what God is doing in this season and how you can be a part of the bigger picture. There are things that God wants to do for us as a church that don't make a lot of sense, but things that other churches don't get to experience because we're listening. We're wanting to grow in maturity. So I'm going to give you those opportunities as your pastor every single week without fail. You're going to know God. I'm going to give you chances to express love for people and to connect to one another. We're going to push you towards groups. I want you in a group. By the way, when we announced that groups was open last week, a lot of our groups completely filled up like that. And I get it. But that just means that several of you here, it's time for you to lead a group. It's time for you to open up your home and host a group. Cut your grass, clean up your living room, put a couple of cookies out. If you can't afford them, I'll buy the cookies, whatever it takes. But you need to step into leadership. Yeah. It's good for you to love God's people. It's part of your spiritual maturity. We want to see you connect. It's good for you. It's a natural progression in your link. So groups are going to be starting here in a couple of weeks. It's a new series called Rebel Heart. We've been writing and spending a ton of time with a lot of people getting this ready for you to take us into the next phase of what God is doing for us as a church. I want you to be a part of it. Also, Unite is happening on September the 12th at 6:00 at Belcher Center. Churches working together to make our city better. It matters. We are a pilot program happening in this city where no other city across America get to do what we're doing. It's beautiful, and we're the first. So I want you to be a part of that. I want you to see what God is doing in our city. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's only because of the revelation that God has given to us. If this is what I'm doing, I want you to link together with other churches. It's not about competition. It's about camaraderie. Let's do it together. And I believe in that. It's important. That revelation will happen as our maturity continues to link together to whatever God has next for us. I want to give you an opportunity to be a part of that. But once again, that's your choice. Revelation comes. We apply God's wisdom. Revelation comes when that wisdom is applied through love. And love begins at faith. So I'll finish up with this. In high school, I had the opportunity to play high school football for 4 years, and for those of you that are not from Texas, you think that's a game. It is not a game. It is life or death. Friday night lights in Texas football is a thing. It is a thing. And so as I was playing one game, I remember that several of our players had gotten hurt, and so coach looked down the line and said, "Ingram, get up in there." And so I run onto the field, I grab my helmet, and I realized like halfway on the field, wait a minute, I'm an offensive player. I've never played defense before in my life. So I played fullback, and sometimes I played tight end or guard. And so I was constantly on the offensive side of the ball. Now we're playing defense, and I am lost. I love the game. I know the rules. I understand what we're trying to do, but I did not understand my part whatsoever. And so we did a couple of series, and it was bad. I was out there just trying not to get in trouble. Like, I'm not really sure. And these guys were gathering together in our defensive huddle, and it's like, hey, we're doing a 4-3 cloud. 21 is the Mike. I'm like, who is Mike? Our team is full of Jose's and Juan's. I don't know any Mike's. Completely lost. And so I finally come back to the sidelines when the other team scores, and I come back and I said, Coach, honestly, you put me in there. I never played defense before. I don't know what I'm doing. As a matter of fact, when I walked out there, I only figured out I was playing middle linebacker because that was the only place that had a spot open. I said, so can you just tell me in simple terms, like, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And he grabs me by the shoulder pads, looks me in the eyes, and says, I'm going to break this down very simply for you. I said, yes, sir, please do. He said, stop the run for the love of God. Stop the run. I said, I got it, coach, whatever you want. For the next 20 minutes of that game, I am Bobby Boucher out there. I'm flying. I'm going to kill that running back no matter what it takes. Why? Because I had revelation. What I'm supposed to be doing. I get it. A light bulb comes on. Ah, here's where I'm at. And my hope for you as we're talking about the link that may be missing is that you can find yourself. For those of us who believe we've got the link of faith, has it expressed itself into love? Have I started loving my church, giving and serving and connecting to one another? If not, that's your link. Love for the love of God. Love for others. It's a chance for you to grow into wisdom, to start applying God's practical word in practical situations every single day, letting God's word come to life and begin to govern and dictate your decisions and the way that you lead your families. For others, it's a season of revelation. God, what are you doing, and how do I get to be a part of that on a global scale? What's my purpose for today? How can I best serve you with this day? Lord, reveal to me what your heart is so that I can know the hope and the riches and the power for those who believe. Lord, I want to walk in all that you have for me. What's my role? Hopefully you see the link. That will help you to discover what it is the Lord is asking for you to do next. Can you receive that, everybody? As we finish up today, I want to make sure that for those of you that are watching online, if you enjoyed what you heard, click that share button. It always means the world to us, and thank you for joining us. And for everybody else, I want to ask you, would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? I want to give you a chance to know the Lord better. I want to give you a chance to hear his voice. And so at the end of every single sermon, we always ask you to pray a prayer. And the prayer is this: Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Can you pray that with me right where you are? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What's next for me in my maturing as a believer? Lord, we're reminded of this great letter that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, how he commends them for their faith and love. But Lord, I'm also reminded of what happens in Revelation chapter 2 when John writes to the church in Ephesus and says, you've gone backwards. You've forgotten your first love. At all costs, get that back. Father, this church didn't listen, and they regressed. And your words in Revelation 2 sting, but they needed to hear it, and we need to hear it today. Lord, if we've lost our first love, if we've forgotten about the love for you and the love for your people, Lord, awaken our hearts once again. We need it. Help us, Lord, to get off the sidelines and get into the game. Help us, Lord, to become contributors, not just consumers. Let us remember that you set us free so we could help others in the same way with love. Father, pray for my friends that they would hear from you and be willing to take a step of faith, that they would mature, become all that you've called them to be. In Jesus' name. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, one last question. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't really have a relationship with Jesus. You may have walked with the Lord when you were younger or gone to Sunday school, or maybe you went to church, but you've been away from God. And you need to come home. My friend, if you've never had a relationship with God, or if you've been away from the Lord and need to come home, I want to invite you to fix that right now by saying a simple prayer, by responding to God's love with a prayer. You may say, I'm not really sure what I should pray. You're talking to me, Pastor, but I don't really know what to say. I'll tell you what to say, and I'll help you just like somebody helped me one time. So if you want a relationship with Jesus, if you've been away from God and need to come home, right where you are, pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Say this, I believe that you came and died and rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness of my sins. Now pray this, say, I'm a sinner, I've messed up. So I ask you to forgive me, save me. I give my life to you, I'm all in. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to know that I'm not gonna embarrass you in any way. But if that was you and you prayed that prayer, would you just look up at me? Just those of you that prayed that prayer, look up at me now. Slip up your hand if you would and say, that was me. You're talking to me, Pastor. I did that. I see you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see you, young man. Good for you. Yes, ma'am. I see you, young one. Good for you. For those of you that just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that there's a phone number appearing behind me on a screen. And I want you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number. And I'm gonna send you back some things that will help you understand what just happened and what you should do next. Because this isn't the end of your relationship with Jesus, this is the beginning. If you're watching online, that number is available for you as well. Text me, text the words, I prayed, to that number, and leave the rest to us. I'm gonna help you. It's the greatest honor of my life, is helping people know Jesus. And for those that know him, I love helping you to know him better. Good for you. High Ridge family, would you go ahead and look up at me if you would, and let's stand to our feet together. I want to remind you, if you're watching online, don't forget to hit that share button. It means the world to us when you do that. And thank you for listening. I also have our elders and their wives stepping forward. And these guys, as the service ends, are going to be right here to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer about. We believe that God still hears our prayers. God answers prayers. And if you're in a place where you need God to move, then step forward as the church finishes up and meet one of these guys. Grab their hands and say, would you pray for me? We would love that. I want to remind you, September the 12th is Unite. And so those tickets are on sale today. If you enter the code Maxwell24, you're going to get a special discount. That's our price and our gift to you. John Maxwell is coming here live and in person to impart what the Lord, I feel like, is giving him to speak to our city and to its leaders. And I believe Longview has a leadership problem. Not many people understand the influence that they have and how to become the leaders that God has called them to be. And we're here to change that. God has absolutely put his spirit inside of you and has called you to do more than just sit on the sidelines. We're called to change the city, and I want you to be a part of that. So that's happening. Also, groups are kicking off in a couple of weeks. Most of those groups are full, but there are still a few spots available, and we will find ways to get everyone that wants to be in a group. We will find ways to get you in a group to make sure that you get all that you need. It's important. It's important. It matters. We believe that growth happens in groups, and we can back that up with a lot of scripture. And so we want you to be a part of a group. So if you've been kicking the tires around here saying, I don't know, is this my church? The answer is yes. How do I do that? Let's connect. Get involved. And so Growth Track is what we would consider our membership class that's happening in the third service every single Sunday. It's a two-part Growth Track, and every single week they repeat it, part one, part two, part one, and part two. That's happening in third service today at 12 o'clock. If you want to become a member here, Growth Track is where you figure out what we believe and what your spiritual gifts are and how to plug you into becoming the person that God has called you to be. That's what we're going to do. And so for everybody else, hey, I want to just tell you, I love you and I'm so proud of you and all the things that you do to make this church amazing. It's the greatest honor of my life to be the pastor of this church, and I love each and every one of you. Let me bless you and send you out. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week? Help them to hear your voice and follow after you. Would you bless their marriages, bless their finances, bless their mental health, bless their relationships with others. Help them, Lord, to hear your voice, to walk in your ways, and to be blessed in all things. And everybody said together one big loud amen. God bless you as you go. Have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today.
Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.